Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, where sports betting lives. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa. Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I see you got your, what do we call it? Your coffee this morning? What do we call it? Your emotional comfort? What's the name of that?
Yeah, emotional support coffee.
Emotional support coffee. Correct. That's what, yeah.
We have special penalty boxes designed because I always have so many beverages on the table, so that we have to clear them off to the side. Uh-huh. But my coffee I need a little bit closer than water, you know?
Yeah, all right.
It's really important.
You good? Everything good with you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Nice to have like a midweek where you could actually sit down and watch some pro and college basketball.
Great night.
Center stage last night. We will have Jim Root from Three Man Weave. The Weavers are back. And we get Jim Root of those three guys, Matt and Kai, in the on deck and in the hole, on deck circling in the hole for a three-man weave. But Jim Root we get today. We'll talk AFC and NFC number one seed, if there is, in fact, a bet to be made in those. And a little later on, JVT, our senior NBA analyst, talking Emirates NBA Cup night number one. Jason Weingarten will be here to join us. And you booked Wes Reynolds. Yes.
Wes Reynolds in the house. Well, not in the house.
We will talk to Wes Reynolds about his love for undefeated Indiana football and if he's braced for Indiana football to get keisterized come final selection show. That's a wish name, isn't it? Keisterized.
Man, I haven't even really asked him about it yet. Yeah. You know, we're doing long shots every week. New long shots pot up now. Wes coming off a winner last week. But yeah, I haven't even really asked him about Indiana football. Like he's like Captain Indiana.
I'm going to phrase it that way and see if he just goes with it.
We'll see.
I also want to have an in-depth discussion with Wes, because Wes is a man of many interests. Went to see the Eagles, and I have a whole thing, and I'm curious if Wes will agree with me or disagree.
Oh, where'd you go? Last night?
No. Over the weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing the last weekend. Okay. How was it? We never talked about it.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. They have, sorry, old rock and roll fans, but they, to me, I've never loved the, I went because someone had got me the ticket in. So
it was your first time at the Sphere, right?
First time at the Sphere. We all wanted to go to the Sphere. It was wonderful. The Sphere is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you want me to do the whole review now? But it was essentially, they have like 5 songs that all sound the same to me. It's like the same chords, but they just rearrange them. So by the time one of their, you know, hits came on at the end, I was like, didn't they play this already? But
they have way too many songs that I didn't know at all when I was listening.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with them. I'm familiar. Well, yeah, it's probably, I would imagine you wouldn't.
Just me.
But I also think that the glory of the Sphere is obviously in the visuals. And it was, no one has told me this, but I believe knowing those, their personalities from the documentary, the Eagles documentary, which is a great documentary, great rock and roll documentary, that at some point they decided, hey, 5-6 songs into this, let's cut down the visuals and make sure everybody's watching us play our music.
Mm.
I think it was a concerted thing by them. Like, I get it, we're at the Sphere, but we're the stars of the show.
Do you remember what I told you about it?
No.
The big difference, it's my second show there. Right? I went to see U2, and like the video, like the producer mind of mine just sat back the whole time watching the wall, and I'm like, you used this already for U2. Like, it's the same thing for U2.
It is incredible, though. Like,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
It absolutely lives up to the hype.
It really does. It's worth the price to go see a show, especially if it's a band you really want to go see. It is worth it.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm just not a huge fan of theirs.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. But Vince Gill is in the band.
Why didn't he do more?
And I want to know, maybe somebody can help me with this. Did they call Vince Gill or did Vince Gill call them?
I'd love
to know the answer to that. But Joe Walsh was great. It was a whole thing. I recommend it. But again, you know, listen, at some point, the visuals go away. Okay, here's the deal. Last night, let's start with, first of all, I just want to get the college basketball, because we will talk to Wes about college hoops, or we'll talk to Jim Root about college hoops first. But two great games. This was the night last night where it was the old, you know, the Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky doubleheader, which has become tradition on ESPN, and they do the second week of the college football rankings in between. Michigan State hung with Kansas for most of that game before Kansas finally took over at the end. The headliner, though, of course, was Flagg and Duke trying to get by Kentucky. And Cooper Flagg was great last night, had himself a great game until the last minute of the game. He was dominant. He was everything the NBA scouts could have possibly wanted to see. But on the final two possessions of this game, he came up empty. Not that that's going to hurt him in the long run. Everybody, you know, no one should overreact to it. But he had, there was tie game, 72 apiece. He had 6'11" Andrew Saar in front of him. He's like, I'm going to take him. But then Otego Owe of Kentucky came off the ball, off his player, poked it away. Kentucky went up with a couple free throws. And then the next possession, he had Kentucky 7-footer Amari Williams had him pinned in the corner, and he lost control of the ball. He hit the baseline turnover on the second consecutive possession. And so in the end, Kentucky wins it. By the way, he also didn't on the subsequent free throws. He also did not
box out
yeah. Owe after Lamont Butler missed the second of the two free throws. That squandered Duke's chance to perhaps get a last gas three-pointer. So it was a trifecta of mistakes at the end for him. But it didn't take away from the overall, which is he is going to be great.
I got a great recap from DeMond back there, our AP, that broke down the final plays for me. I did the whole thing, Gil, of, I'm like, all right, 6 o'clock, I'm turning on Cooper Flagg. Let's go. And then I got so wrapped up in NBA, and before I knew it, it was like 7:45, and the game was over, almost over.
Well, he ends up, by the way, Flagg does, in defeat, 26 points, 12 boards.
Yeah, it's so pretty good.
Not too bad. As far as the NBA, by the way, Lou Finicaro already texted me. I know it's about the Eagles. I know he's upset about my take on the Eagles. He's like, forget the sports bar. Let's talk about the Eagles. The NBA last night, the first night of the Emirates Cup again, Tuesdays and Fridays up through December 14th and 17th. That's when they play the semis and the finals. Remember, this is the in-season tournament that the Lakers so proudly won last year. They beat the Pacers in the final. We'll get to Steph, because that was the nightcap. But your thoughts, first of all, your thoughts on the courts, the whole event itself, and then let's just start with Joel Embiid. Let's just get that out of the way.
All right, let's get it out of the way. The courts, I'm tired of talking about, and this is only year two, but yeah, of course I'm with everybody. They look ridiculous. I also think, isn't everybody on the same page now that the Warriors won last night?
Yes.
Perfectly fine. And we all said the same thing last year. These, like, gray or beige, like, court covers they have, those all work. Just don't give me neon blue in my face. Like, I don't really understand what
some of them are startling because they're like playing on a mirror kind of.
Celtics Pistons last night. Yeah. Oh boy, here we go. Yeah, if you're watching at home, you'll see all the different iterations.
It's kind of cool though, isn't it?
So, thank you, Gil. Like, it's, I feel like that's everybody's snap reaction to this tournament. Yeah. It's like, oh god, the courts. And I'm like, well, if that's the NBA's biggest problem with this tournament is your issue with the courts, then they're doing something right.
Yeah. I kind of dig it. It lets you know that it's something different.
And that's what they're trying to go for, right? I don't know. I am, yes, just like you, I am a little, it hurts the eye with, like, the Pistons one last night was awful. The Celtics, I could go either way.
Let's do the bad and the good. The bad is Embiid. Joel Embiid debut last night, 13 points, and then to say he had a hitch in his giddy-up walking off the court would be an understatement.
I wrote the rundown for us, Gil. Looks skinny, plays slower than I've ever seen. That was my takeaways from the first night. Oh, man, he had some really sloppy play last night. 2 for 11 from the field, 3 rebounds, 5 assists.
2 for 11 is ungood.
Yeah, ungood. 26 minutes. I don't know if you caught this post-game, though. Joel Embiid, who is now basically on record as saying he will not be playing in back-to-backs for most likely his entire career, decided to have some fun with the fans last night and say this after the game.
I mean, I want to. That's up to those guys. I mean, I know I said I will never play back-to-backs, but I'm a troll, so I'm sure at some point I'll play. But I feel good right now. We're going to see. But it's up to them.
Sixers lose to the Knicks by 12. And it's just, for me, it's more you just step back and you wonder, like, how is, if this is in fact the continuation of a health decline, and that we'll never see him. And I remember he won an MVP. Maybe it was because they just got tired of giving it to Jokic that year.
Yeah.
But if this is, in fact, we're seeing him on the downside and this will just continue, what a What a shame. What a career sort of lost, if that's the case.
It's terrible. I caught the stat the other day. It's like 47% of the regular season games that he could have played in, he's mm-hmm. missed. Like, yeah. He's missed half the regular season games he's played. They are 9.5-point dogs at home against the Cavs tonight. Him and Paul George both questionable. I don't expect to see him go, Gil, but this is in the whole story of, hey, we bet on these things. It's great when you get concrete information, as much as people want to freak out. It's actually great when we hear from someone like Joel Embiid, hey, I'm not going to play in back-to-backs. And then after his first game, it's, well, I don't know. It's up to them. It's not up to me. It's up to them.
That's one of five games tonight, the Cavaliers and the Sixers. One of five games tonight where a team is playing a team that is not playing a back-to-back is playing a team that is on a back-to-back. So the Sixers on a back-to-back there. Cavaliers trying to go 13-0. Try to go 13-0 as 9.5-point favorites on the road. The other games that feature teams that are on better rest, if you will, playing a team that's on a back-to-back when they did not play last night. Pacers get to play the Magic, who lost last night. The Nets are hosting the Celtics. The Celtics get beat by the Hawks. Hawks overcame a 15-point second-half deficit to beat the Celtics last night. Celtics are 8.5-point road favorites in that one. The Bulls are going to play the Knicks at New York. The Knicks still remain a 8.5-point favorite in that. And the other one, the fifth one, is the Suns and the Kings. Suns coming off a victory last night. Kings get to play them. Kings are 7.5-point favorites in that game tonight with the Suns on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I laid 6 last night. That's the only one I'm on.
The best thing last night, though, was Steph, man. The Warriors were up. The Mavericks took over. The Mavericks went on a 7-0 run after the game was tied. And then Steph went crazy, scored the last 12 of this game in a game where Klay Thompson, in his return, in his glorious return to San Francisco, where the crowd was just giving him all kinds of love before the game, during the game, after the game, he scored 22. Klay did 6 3-pointers. But in the end, Steph let you know it was his house. And he said it that way. Warriors 9-2 with the 120-117 win, and they cover in the process, 2.5-point favorites. We'll come back. How about some NFL next?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many sports in action, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. So, you know, everybody's harsh, including ourselves, on, I shouldn't even say the name, on the guy who lines up under center for the Chicago Bears, you know, the quarterback guy. I don't want to say his name.
So Darnell's too good, man. We tell him one thing, he's going to play it every time. All right.
By the way, this is a tradition on a numbers game. I'll come up with an idea and then people will abuse the idea right on me. This is Bill Margulewski, because I was tweeted out the original Merrill Hodge quote.
Whoa, hold on. If you don't want Darnell to play it every time, that's fine. I told him to play it every time we mention his name.
That's right. That's why I'm avoiding mentioning his name.
Okay. We're just going to avoid his name
It's like Voldemort.
Yeah, exactly.
He who shall not be named.
That's like the youngest reference ever from Gil Alexander. How many Harry Potter movies have you seen?
I think I saw the first two.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you read any of the books?
I think I read the first one.
Yeah, I think I only made it through a book or two.
Yeah. Well,
I think I saw most of
them. Anything else you want to ask me about?
I'm very impressed.
Okay.
What about Hunger Games? You didn't know the Ninja Turtles or... Oh, yeah, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Saw the first movie.
Man, you just only made it through the one, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't make it through any others.
Well, no. I'm aware. Anyway, Bill Margulewski, respect Hodge, Merrill Hodge, by the way, who was the one who was with us in February, right before the Super Bowl, who was saying that the Bears ought not draft, I'll say it, Caleb Williams from USC.
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
And that's what he said. And anyway, Bill Margulewski says, I respect Hodge a tremendous amount, but can we give him a chance with an NFL offensive line and competent coaching? Absolutely. No one's saying it's over. And you're right. He deserves to have some competence in both of those categories around him. But also, let's not diminish his part of it either. Right. Holds on to the ball too long.
Totally.
If you watched Hard Knocks, I said this at the time. He's when he got drafted. Remember when he got drafted in the first pick and he walked down on stage? Remember what I said on the show? I'm like, wow, he doesn't lack confidence.
Yeah.
Right. So there was that. And then on Hard Knocks, there would be like one-on-ones in the office and he would just kind of be a little too nonchalant about it. But you're right. He deserves more competence around him. That's for sure.
I will say, if you're looking for positives in that situation, some of the player comments and stuff that I've read, it seems like there's more of a coaching staff issue for the players, more so than a Caleb Williams issue.
Well, if you to believe all the reports that were coming out yesterday, Shane Waldron got fired, right? But there were some reports that were like some of the players were like, you should bench Williams and put in Secret Agent Man before you fire Waldron. And that didn't happen that way. But if you believe those reports, then there is a bit of a mutiny.
Yeah.
This is also from Huddy Delight 13, who says, I'm sorry, Gilly McRedskin. I love that. If that is your real name, even as a disappointed Bears fan, I cannot give up on my quarterback with the recently fired terrible OC and bad O-line. As the great Merrill Hodge once said, I like Brian Brohm better than Aaron Rodgers. Rant over. Love the show. Did he say that about Brian Brohm over Aaron Rodgers? Or are you just making that up? I don't know if he did.
I mean, like, probably a good chance. We all have terrible takes if you roll back the tapes.
Kelly's are even etched in Twitter history.
That's right. Chris Singleton, where are you at?
That's right. I'm sorry. Who was the guy? Chris Singleton. You love Chris Singleton over Kawhi Leonard. B. Morianen. I can't say I watched any of the NBA games last night, so I'm curious. Is it a different ball because the Knicks and Suns having orange courts seems like it would severely hamper the viewing experience? It is a different ball, correct?
It is a different ball. Yeah. I guess I didn't fully read to the end of that tweet. I don't know if it's like orange enough for the ball to get lost. I get what you're saying.
And 3Jack H3131 says, from a long time disgruntled Bears fan, he says, Caleb Williams. Don't play him. You don't play him.
He is not special. Okay. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
Okay. Before we do our power rankings, because we have power rankings coming up, one more thing about the NBA's Emirates NBA Cup night number one that I wanted to bring up was the end of the Pistons Heat game, which went into overtime. And Eric Spoelstra, of all people, Eric Spoelstra did the old Chris Webber thing from the national championship game back in 1993. He was frustrated with his team. He got really angry and he called a very tantrumy, and by the way, if you see the video, I'm not exaggerating, tantrumy timeout. Only problem was they didn't have any timeouts left. And so the Pistons win it on free throws. That wasn't the only thing you were upset with in that game.
Well, so I got a lot. I was on the Pistons last night. We talked about the Pistons group play yesterday that I played as well. And I got a lot of texts of like, wow, you got really lucky there. I'm like, whoa. All right, end of the fourth quarter, Tyler Hero makes three consecutive threes in the final 122 to tie this ball game. He was absolutely incredible.
He had 40 last night.
Yeah, had 40. Yeah. Career highs for him all around. We had that first, and then about a minute before all the Eric Spoelstra thing, there was a jump ball between Bam Adebayo and Cade Cunningham where I don't know if I've ever seen.
There's the shot right there.
Bam just holding Cade Cunningham's arm down. Guess what, Gil? The ref has to get out of the way, even though he's looking right at it. He's looking right at it, has to get out of the way. Ball goes to the Heat, timeout, and they take it up court.
Spoken like a man who had a bet on the Pistons.
I mean, isn't betting great sometimes? Like, I'm freaking out over a Heat-Pistons regular season game last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings, and it goes like this. I've run out of radio stations.
No, I'm with you.
I have to become more familiar with other markets and their hard rock stations. Hey,
tweet us in your favorite rock stations.
Oh, don't do that. Okay, do it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever in my power rankings any year, the Detroit Lions are the number one team in the NFL. I know the Chiefs are undefeated. I know they have Patrick Mahomes. And I know in any 60 minutes in January and or February, he could put on the cape and just win again with a three-peat. That doesn't affect the current power rankings, right? Because if you're just asking me, who do I have as the best teams in football? The Lions are one. The Lions are one. There's no denying it. I thought that victory on Sunday, more than any other, where they finally faced adversity, 5 picks they overcame. They never lost their cool. They never abandoned the run. That was so impressive. Lions are one. Ravens remain two. I do have the Chiefs at three. Let's not get crazy. They're still among the top three teams in football. Here's where it gets a little different for folks. Remember, Drew's yesterday were fascinating to me. I was glad. It was just sort of a throwaway question.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let's see what he has. And he had, like, I was like, the Lions were fourth. I think he had the Niners third. Was that true? And he had the Chiefs fifth. So I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Well, yeah,
was it Ravens? Who was second?
Ravens were his second. The Bills were his second.
Yeah. So it went Ravens, Bills, Niners, Lions, Chiefs.
Correct. Yes. Which I was fascinated by. So I have it Lions 1, Ravens 2, Chiefs 3. I still have the Packers at 4. I still have the Niners at 5. I'm still a big Niners guy when they're all, when they're full strength and when they stop missing field goals. Like, it just feels like it's a team that hasn't played their full game yet. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe just isn't a year where they will ever play a full game. Bills are 6. Bills creeping. Creep, creep. 7th are the Texans. They fall one slot. The Commodores, despite losing to the Steelers, are 8. But the Steelers do crack the top 10. I have the Eagles at 9. The Eagles were the big mover for me. Eagles are 9. Steelers, 10. Yes, just because the Commodes lost to the Steelers doesn't mean a different outcome couldn't have happened. I know it didn't, but that doesn't mean the reason we do power rankings is to have guardrails, to not overreact. So I got the Eagles at 9. I have the Steelers at 10. And then the next 5, Kelly, which we have started doing here the last few weeks. Bengals, Vikings, Cardinals, Chargers, Bucks for me. But I will say this again, once you get to 16 or 17, it drops off a cliff. Like, I don't think anybody's power rankings are, like, if you took the top 16 or 17 and then you took the bottom 15 or 16, depending on what the number is, I think those groups are all going to be the same, just in different order.
Yeah, I would say, I think in the past couple weeks when we've done this, like up to, I feel like I needed 13. I needed like 13 spots to represent all the teams that should be in there. The last two, I was like, I don't know, this could be two of 5 teams. Right,
I've been saying for a month now, you have at least a quarter of this league that is horrific.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You, sir.
Yeah, if we go over to mine, the top 5 remain the same. I feel like Gil Alexander this week. I'm not moving anybody.
There you go.
Lions 1, Ravens 2, Chiefs 3, Bills 4, 49ers 5, and Eagles go up to 6. And I'll tell you, Gil, those top 6 feel very, very comfortable to me. And
the Eagles too, really?
Almost in that order. Yeah, yeah. You know me. I'm a believer in the Eagles and what they've been doing recently. I think we're seeing them get back on track. They get these wide receivers healthy. Watch out here. I think for the Eagles, I move the Vikings. I think it's interesting. I'm almost proud of you that you have punished, or not even punished, but you moved the Vikings down further than I have.
I don't think they're very good.
I'm not a long-term believer, yeah. But like at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how far I can realistically move these teams.
They're gonna win a lot of games because their schedule's really easy. Yeah. And they're getting to the playoffs. I get all that. I just don't think they're that awesome.
So I left them there for now. Long-term believers, I'm a long-term believer in the Packers and the Texans more so than that Vikings team. But I put Packers 8, Texans 9, Commanders go down to 10. Cardinals shoot all the way up to 11. I'm in on the bandwagon. Steelers at 12. Falcons 13. Chargers 14. Broncos 15.
Yeah, Broncos were my first on the outside looking in. They're way better than I thought they would be, that's for sure. I will come back. College basketball. Jim Root from Three Man Weave. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Who doesn't like that? Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, Sport Trade. Perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. It's live now in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Cheap prop bets. As a Bears fan, I'm actually happy for Jaden Daniels. The Bears would have likely screwed him up. Coaching and organizations play such a huge role in the development of quarterbacks, i.e. see the unlikable Green Bay Packers. Listen, I have said this for years on the show. If you were a keen numbers game listener, the one I always say is if Peyton Manning was drafted by Washington and he had a different coach and different coordinator every single year, sure, he has pedigree because he's Peyton Manning, but he never would have become the Peyton Manning we know. And there's no way I can prove this to you, but that is the thing about football. You're absolutely right. It is unlike basketball, where talent always wins. There's only five guys on a court. Talent will rise. They don't always win the title, but they will always be the more impressive thing on a basketball court. Football is so absolutely dependent on the situation you get in. So you might be right, Cheap Rob Betts. Maybe that's the case. Obviously, what he's talking about the Packers is, my goodness, two decades of Hall of Fame quarterbacking, and now maybe a good player and maybe a perennial All-Pro in Jordan Love. I used to say this about San Francisco. I was there at a time where Jeff Garcia was the quarterback right after Steve Young. They had had 21 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking with Joe Montana and Steve Young. And then when Jeff Garcia had the audacity to only make three Pro Bowls, they're like, this guy sucks. Well, you guys got to be kidding me.
Jeff Garcia.
StatLogic Sports. One, is Caleb Williams special? And two, has Mike Tomlin ever had a losing season?
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
Mike Alvarez, first live show this week. Caleb having a tough start, but look at Jared Goff. He just had five picks and still won. That's pretty bad, but it's not like Jared ever lost when being a 17-point favorite at home. Oh, wait. Oh, don't bring that back, that memory from those of us in Survivor in 2020 who got knocked out of that game. Okay, let us talk some college hoops. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at 3MW_CBB. I believe I have that right after all these years. It's Three Man Weaves, Jim Root, James Patrick Root, everybody. How you doing, Jim? What's going on?
I'm great, Gil. Good to be here. Yeah, you got that nailed. Ever since we changed it from the double underscore of 3MW, we had to figure that out, and I'm glad we've got you on board now too.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, let's start with what happened last night. And then we'll get to your more macro stuff and then your picks today. But Cooper Flagg, I said that at the beginning of the show, I'm like, hey, obviously two turnovers, and then he didn't box out. Everybody, let's not overreact. He's still going to be awesome. He is absolutely was the best player on the court yesterday. I don't think we'll have any disagreement on that. Was there a bigger takeaway from any of those four teams featured last night? Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas, obviously, most prominently.
Not really. I think especially Duke probably doesn't need to be too worried at all about losing. They didn't make jump shots. You mentioned the Flag stuff late, and we were talking about this before we got on air. You know, Shire draws up that last play out of the timeout, and it's going to Flag's weak hand. That's just something that I find rather questionable, and you've got a whole timeout to set that up. They clear out the left side for Cooper Flag. That doesn't really make sense to me. It's hard to put that all on Flag when really coaching could have corrected that a little bit. But yeah, I thought Duke looked great. Kentucky impressively looking a little bit cohesive early on, and I like what they have in terms of different lineup options. They can play some really heavy defense lineups. They can kind of go all offense, and that's a credit to what Mark Pope is able to do in the portal, just bringing in different kinds of players that mesh. And they went over it, you know, ad nauseum last night, all the different things those guys have done off the court to try to come together. But I generally think what I expected of the teams ended up happening, and you know, Duke didn't win. That's certainly the expected outcome. But I think if you really dig into the box score and like the 3-point shooting numbers and Con Knipple going 5 for 20, it's hard to have anywhere near panic mode for Duke. I think they acquitted themselves nicely despite the loss.
I would totally agree. You are the guy, by the way. All you guys at Three Man Weave do great with this, but you're the one specifically that, as far as how I can remember it in my mind, is the one known for having a whole bunch of futures tickets, really good futures tickets, when it comes down to the end. What do you have in pocket this year?
Oh, all kinds of them. Yeah, I've definitely started more of a portfolio approach over the last few years, just try to get as many good teams as I can at good prices. You know, I picked off Auburn at 40-1. The second Jahni Broome announced he was coming back. That obviously looks pretty good right now with them sitting atop KenPom rankings that went over Houston. I've got Alabama something like 20-1, Houston around 20-1. Just try to get as many as I can up in that vicinity so that when we get down to it towards the end of the year, maybe some decent gambles. A couple longer shots might be decent prices right now that I think have really high upside that might be worth taking a look at. Texas Tech, they're way up there in KenPom rankings, almost top 10. I think it's fully legit. I believe in them as a great, great team. They've got scoring, passing, bunch of different great defenders. They can play big. They can play small. They've got a great coach. I think Texas Tech's going to float right around that top 10 all season and be a candidate to make a run late. And then the bigger couple gambles you could look at here. BYU and Illinois, teams that I wasn't really buying early, especially coming into the season, just kind of the youth that they had, the international flavor that they had. I wasn't sure how it was going to translate. Both teams have looked really good early on. Now, there's still a lot of testing to be done against actual competition, but if you're taking a swing for the fences, they're both sitting around 20th in KenPom, maybe they end up leaping up and getting, you know, four seeds or something with the talent that they have. And then you look pretty smart and you have a nice portfolio towards the end of the year.
How much, by the way, and I don't mean to reduce your analysis on college basketball to this when you're doing futures, but how what percentage of your futures plays comes down to, oh, look, here they're ranked in KenPom way higher than the betting market gives them credit for. That's a bet.
Not as much because he doesn't come out with it till mid-October. And so all summer, I'm just kind of trying to pick off, you know, good prices, especially if like one book's just far off on a team. I'm pretty comfortable with that. But then as we get into the year, to your point, like, oh, wow, this team's played really well, maybe even way better than I'm realizing. They've risen up to 22nd in KenPom and they're still sitting 150-1. Maybe that's something that's worth taking a shot at. So I do try to balance it out, especially during the year. Then KenPom has an influence.
Yeah, as good a method of any. By the way, Alabama, I just want to point this out, so good that Houston Millett is redshirting. That's how good Alabama is. Just want to point that out. Okay. How has the season gone so far, this very young season, in terms of just picking games?
It started well. Sides have treated me well. Had a bad totals night last night. Just kind of was on the wrong side of a few. I mean, my own fault. Bad bets, not bad beats. But I picked up the trend early in the season that it was going to be an efficient season. So I got some overs early. Unders have started to make a comeback. Efficiency not, or at least the books have caught up with the incredible efficiency that the season has had so far. So feeling okay, off to a decent start, Gil, and hopefully we can keep it going.
All right. What have you got tonight? And I'm sure you've come equipped with rotation numbers.
I sure did. And you know, the most surprising part is I have nothing on the extra board, Gil. It feels okay. Foreign to me to not be dipping down into those teams. But
what kind of segment is this without that?
I know. I'm not even trying at this point. No. We'll start right off the top of the rotation. 6-6-8, first game on the board, Louisiana Tech and UMass. Taking the under 146 in this game. It's on a neutral site. For some reason, these two are playing in New Jersey. I don't really know why Louisiana Tech is headed up there, but both of them have some pretty great interior defenders. Louisiana Tech's got the defensive player of the year in their conference, Daniel Bacho, formerly of Arizona and Texas Tech. And then UMass has got a JUCO transfer that just blocks everything. He's a pogo stick, 7-footer, long arms. I think both teams are going to struggle to score in the paint. Both teams they're playing on this like kind of neutral, cavernous. It's going to be a weird atmosphere, not a lot of fans there. I think that's conducive to the under. So I like that one at the top. Next up, 7-06, Illinois. Just talked about them a little bit in the futures section. I'm going to lay it with them, -23. They've looked really good early on, and they've got a lot of guys fighting for minutes. So if they're in a blowout, I think they've got guys that are going to keep up the blowout late. And Oakland's a mess right now. We loved Oakland in the NCAA tournament last year, but they lost a ton. They're kind of injured. They're trying to learn Greg Campy's zone defense. They're trying to figure out his offense. They got blown out by 40 or 50 in Boise in their first game. And I think Illinois is every bit capable of doing that. And last up, 7-08, Cal State, Fullerton, and Colorado. I'm taking the under again here, 137. I think both teams' strengths are their front courts. You're going to have a little bit of a clash there, especially Colorado doesn't have a lot of guard talent, a lot of shot creation. Fullerton's also going to be pretty comfortable playing in the half court. So battle of the bigs, elevation could keep this game a little bit lower possession for Fullerton. I think the under is a pretty solid look there as well.
Excellent use of elevation, Jim. Excellent. Well done. All these picks, in case you missed them, if they went too fast from Jim, all will be available at VSiN.com/picks. Every guest, every host, every sport at VSiN.com/picks. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, man. Great to see you.
Magnificent to see you, Gil. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. He one-up me with magnificent. By the way, it's at 3MW_CBB for Three Man Weave. But Jim, personally, can be found at Second Chance Points. That's with the number 2. We'll come back. Some number 1 seed thoughts in the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Omaha.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle and save 50% off gourmet gifts site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early and score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. You know they had gifting experts at Omaha Steak? That's like a job.
That's awesome.
What do you do? I'm a gifting expert at Omaha Steak.
I cooked up some Omaha Steak's chicken breasts last night, chopped them up, made some fajitas. It was delicious.
Oh, you got chicken breasts?
Yeah, breasts from Omaha Steak's. Yeah, very good.
It's very impressive. By the way, I mentioned earlier, casually, that I saw that I got a text from Lou Finicaro.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Sweet
already.
Lou Finicaro, yes. Gamble Lou, who's the nicest guy in the world, does UFC for us. At VSiN.com.
Gil and I made a side bet.
So I was about to go see what Lou had texted me, and you said, don't check it yet. So I didn't. I'm like, what are you talking about? So you wanted me to give you a number. I say it's minus 500 that it has to do with the rock and roll band Eagles, what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and I will lay that. I have a $10 bet.
I'm $10 to win $2.
To win $2, yep.
Okay, here's the, we're live on air.
Drum roll.
Reading text on air. Eagles at Sphere was epic. Coordination of songwriters, visuals, and sound system was killer. Joe Walsh, maybe 20 times never, I think he was voicing this because it says Sean Walsh, but I think he means Joe Walsh, maybe 20 times never Eagles. I don't know what that means, Lou. Gil, been with Eagles for several years now.
You owe me $2.
I owe you $2.
We should have taken it a step further. Was it going to be a overly positive note that disagrees with Gil?
Because
that would have been the heavy favorite,
I, as,
too.
As I, when I saw his name, I immediately felt, oh, I said something bad.
Lou, we love you, man. Thanks for listening as much as you do, man.
Speaking of the Eagles, not those Eagles, but the actual football Eagles, the beauty of getting tweets is that people have a really strong conviction about something, and yet it's really strong conviction on both sides of things. So we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is about the Philadelphia Eagles. Brian Schaefer, Gil, Eagles are 7-2. I like when Brian starts with telling me about standings that I'm unaware of. He says, Gil, Eagles are 7-2. One of their losses was a fluke, dropped pass in a game they dominated. Another loss to a Bucs team on the road without their wide receiver one and wide receiver two. And the Commanders don't punt. The Eagles and Commanders are top six teams. Niners are overrated. Okay, that's Brian Schaefer. Followed quickly by In-Game Into Membrane, who says, Philadelphia wins. Dallas, Jags, Cincinnati, Giants, Cleveland, New Orleans. Losses, Atlanta and Tampa. Weaker than a cheesesteak on a paper plate, he says.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I love that reference, but I'm going to need an explanation.
Well, because like, when you put a cheesesteak on a paper plate, the grease is sopped through that the plate gives out.
It's got to be that, right?
I mean,
but how else are you serving cheesesteaks?
On fine china.
Right, apparently. Exactly. Like what?
Yeah. Gary_Philly. I wonder which way this is going to go. He goes, Gil, you've got the Eagles too low. Didn't they beat the Packers team that both of you guys are high on? And then Jason Stark. And by the way, Jason Stark, you know, this is very, very justifiable. He says, maybe after the Steelers beat the Ravens this weekend, you'll finally treat them with some respect, Gil and Kelly. Hashtag here we go, which is the Steelers hashtag. Here's the thing about the Steelers fans. You are justified in going after us at this point, much like you are justified in going after everybody who had the Eagles. Who had the Steelers, pardon me, as not getting to their season win total. But y'all also know that the gauntlet is coming, right? So, like, let's not get too frisky.
Yeah, I still fully believe that, Gil, but yeah, I'm kind of, with Russell Wilson in there, doing his thing with the deep ball.
The Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson stroke. Going from Fields to Wilson, though, has proved to be pure genius.
Genius. Absolutely genius. They're great. Yeah. You, Jason, you can dunk on me all you want. So far, it looks like I was very wrong with this team.
Oh, right. Raising my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the gauntlet is coming.
And I bet the Ravens already.
Coach Harry Ellis. I bet the Ravens already. Coach Harry Ellis. We like Jim Root for picks, not geography, because the Nassau Coliseum is in New York, not New Jersey. Yeah, he had trouble with that. But give him credit for elevation.
How do you screw up that annual classic? Come on.
Chris Heath. Great to have some three-man weave back. Just fired on all three. There you go.
There we go.
And then Norman Vegas, kudos to three-man weave for giving out the game number along with his picks. Some days there are so many games in college hoops that it takes a while to scan through and find the right team without the game number. That is why, Norman Vegas, I said immediately, I know you've come with rotation numbers. College basketball, you need that. And the numbers guys who gave us his beautiful daughter, Elaine, who was dressed up as Bill Krakenberger Halloween. Yeah. He says, is Master Root the leader of them boys at three-man weave? I've never seen three younger people know so gosh dang much about college basketball. He went gosh dang on us. They went over all the conferences the last few months, and sometimes they wear propeller beanie hats. Apparently they do that on their podcast, I guess. That's very exciting.
Well, he knows how to make air. Gosh dang makes air.
What's
that? Gosh dang makes air. Okay. Yeah. Other wording does not make air. No, the three-man weave guys are as impressive as it gets for what they do year in and year out with college basketball.
You know, Kelly, picking winners is hard, especially in like season long wins markets. But I'll tell you what isn't. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Easy, I say. If you've ever injured, or if you are ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or pound law, pound 529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. And today, usually we're doing adjusted season win totals. Not today, though. We are taking a look at number one seed markets, number one in the AFC, number one in the NFC. Which is sort of a de facto most wins, right? Just worded differently. Right. You end up with a number one seed.
Although, most wins in each conference.
Although it's a little different because you could end up tied, but only one team get the number one seed. So there is that.
That's true, yeah.
There is that. Sometimes we're going to have markets where there's obvious bets and other times we're not. Kelly, I'm going to go ahead and say this is one of those where it's kind of priced as it should be. In the AFC, Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, they're 9-0. They've banked all those wins at 9-0. And because of that, they are minus 400 favorites to end up with the number one seed in the AFC. Now, obviously, they play the Bills this weekend. So there is some, you know, there's got to be some correlation in terms of your conviction. So the Chiefs are 9-0. The Bills have the second best record in the AFC at 8-2. Steelers, by the way, would have the third best at 7-2. Ravens are 7-3. Steelers with that schedule, forget about it. Chiefs, if you believe they're going to lose to the Bills,
which I have bet the Bills.
Okay. If you believe that, the Chiefs would be 9-1 and the Bills would be 9-2. Then perhaps the Bills at plus 450 is worth a flyer.
And Bills would have the tiebreaker then, obviously, right? Over
yes,
the Chiefs. So
correct.
That is it's an interesting number for me. Like this was the NFC is more interesting. Obviously there's more teams that are in play for the one seed there, but I looked at this yesterday, like plus 450. I feel like if I can find 5-1 or longer, it's probably a little bit of a sprinkle for me. If I'm betting the Bills this weekend, I think you got to think that way a little bit. Kansas City, left on their schedule.
Oh,
still,
it's so easy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, but like, okay, you saw Denver push them last week. They have Denver again. They have Houston. They have the Chargers. They have the Steelers.
Well, let's go through it. It's at after the Bills. So let's say they lose to the Bills. At Carolina, home Vegas, home Chargers. That's a night game. At Cleveland, home Houston. So there's that. At Pittsburgh, at Denver. They do close difficult. You're right about that. And the Buffalo Bills remaining schedule after the game against the Chiefs would be they get a bye, first of all. Then it would be home San Francisco, at the Rams, at Detroit. Ooh, home New England, home Jets, at New England. So they close, there goes my earpiece, they close easier than the beginning of that. So the problem with it is they could lose some football games here in the short term. I think they might be a little long, but not enough for me to make that
bet. Yeah, I think I need a little longer, Gil, but it does go back with us talking about on guessing lines a little bit with this Chiefs team. It's just, if their name was different, the helmets looked different, all of that stuff, take the names off the back of the jerseys, all we'd be saying is this team could not keep this up.
But it's
Mahomes and Andy Reid. So like, Mahomes, I don't, maybe they can.
Okay. So what we've determined here is maybe you could talk yourself into a Bills bet. In the NFC, I don't think you can talk yourself in anything. It's the Lions. The Lions are going to be the number one seed. They're minus 200. I might even argue that's not long enough.
Well, that's what I was going to prove.
Yeah. That might actually be a bet at minus 200 because the Lions, again, in the standings, they're the only team with one loss currently, and the rest of their schedule, home Jacksonville, at Indianapolis, home Chicago. Then they do have a couple home games that are tough, Green Bay and Buffalo. Let's say they split those for a second loss. At Chicago, at San Francisco, home Minnesota. They're not going to lose enough football games for any of the other teams to overcome them. And that includes the two-loss Eagles, whose schedule will have some losses on there. I just think the Lions at minus 200 might be low.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. With the way this team's playing right now, I think you have to look that way.
Yeah, might be a bet. JVT joins us on the other side, our senior NBA analyst. We'll talk NBA and all his football bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.